You're listening to Gnarly Motivationals on the Gnarly Magazine Podcast with your host, Johnny Von Gnarly.
Jerry Serqua, the man behind A12 Inc. and the Motorcycle Art Extravaganza. You're a motorcycle fabricator and you're the curator of the Sissy Bar Art Show. Can you tell the listeners about your fab work first, and then we'll get to the Sissy Bar Art stuff in a bit?
Yeah, first of all, I want to say thanks for having me on, Johnny. It's always a pleasure. My fab work, I do metal fabrication. Pretty much anything you think of, I can make. For everything from furniture to art, to motorcycle parts, to you name it. I've only been doing it a couple of years, but it seems to come naturally. So,
cool.
Lucky me.
So I met you when the 812 compound was in Jersey. You had a brief stint down south, and now you found a home in York, Pennsylvania. How difficult was it to keep the work and money flowing with, you know, all the moves over a short period of time?
Oh, man. Close to almost impossible. Keeping it moving while I was moving was a feat, definitely burning the candle at both ends. I'm lucky to have some supporters that were bearing with me through those times, letting some orders go a little longer than they really should have. That being said, I was working on the move. I was working under Easy Ups for a while. I was working in some crazy conditions to get things done. But, you know, it's never really the conditions that you put the man in. It's what's conditioned inside the man to get it done. So that's the way I look at things. So
were you really backed up or how did that work out?
Not really backed up. What happened is I worked myself down as close to possible to almost nothing before I was making moves, but orders would come in even though I held stuff up, and getting the locations and then be able to set up really quick and get some orders done. It came trying a little bit, you know. Yeah. I definitely have more orders coming in, but eventually I opened the books 100% and hopefully they flood the gates with orders.
When you had the books closed, were you kind of nervous? Like, oh man, I hope these guys come back. Or did you pretty much know these people and you knew they were loyal to you?
Absolutely. I was nervous. I was like, oh man, I'm done. I mean, this is like almost a year, 7-8 months of nothing. You know, I was like, forget about it. There's no way. And lucky enough, I was 100% wrong.
That's great.
And then, you know, I went through that again almost 7 months later. I'm like, oh man, 812's done. Who's gonna support this? This is idiotic. And sure enough, the supporters are still there. Pumping out the orders as they come in, however it takes. But you know, I think I found a decent home now, and I'm ready to really start rocking and rolling.
Now, where are you in New York? What's the setup you have up there? Talk about the guys if you want, if you can.
Well, right now I got a garage that's just my own. Basically, it's a big, like, 4.5-5-bay garage with power lifts and heaters and everything. It's equipped with running water and everything that I'm going to need to set up to get builds done, to get orders done, to get fabrication done, store parts. Hopefully, it will accommodate all of my needs moving forward.
Nice. What do you have in the garage right now? What are you working on?
Oh, man. I'm in the middle, literally, of moving all the stuff over there, but I worked myself down to like a handful of orders. But as soon as I did that, you know, I just finished one order up and sent it out. It'll be sent out on Monday. So I have a little hiatus of about a week to get everything else over there and set up so I could start fabricating again. I got trophy orders coming in, and you know, I got two other orders right off the bat today. So they're going to keep coming in. So I got to keep working little by little. I got to keep working. So
are the trophies your main thing right now, or is it just could be whatever?
Mostly motorcycle parts is what I get most of the work for right now. Although it is trophy season, in the last couple of years, I've done a tremendous amount of trophies for different shows. This year, I think I'm scaling that back a little bit so I can get on some of my personal builds and only going to do a couple of the big shows this year, maybe.
So outside of the metal fab work, 812 Inc. is your brand. Are you traveling a lot to various bike shows to vend, or is it traveling around mostly for the Sissy Bar Art Show, or you just want to go and hang and have fun with, you know, cool motorcycle people?
I started vending at the events, and I found that I hated being trapped behind a table. Plus, nobody bought my crap anyway. You know, always buying shirts. Guys don't buy shirts. I was getting orders anyway. So I stopped vending, and I started going to the events because, you know, this is what I do.
Yep.
This is my life. So, you know, I'm married to this life. So everything that I could get to financially and time-wise that it would allow me, I was getting to. And now with the Motorcycle Art Extravaganza, it allows me to get to more places. So I do it to do it because I love the lifestyle. There's certain ones that, you know, I try to try different ones, but there's some that back routes that I really love that I try to make each year, but it gets trying.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not cheap or easy. If I was retired with money, it'd be a whole different story. I'm neither.
Now let's talk about the Motorcycle Art Extravaganza. I know it's a huge undertaking, but for those who don't know, can you give a little rundown?
Basically, it's an idea I put together. So I get a whole bunch of artists that can and do work around the motorcycle industry, whether it's leather, whether it's painting, whether it's pinstriping, whether it's steel work, whether whatever it could be, if it could be on around that thing. And I handpick a bunch of artists. I fabricate some sissy bars, but I put a back panel on them. And I send them out to 30, you know, anywhere from 30 was the most, all the way down to 18 different artists around the country, some out of the country, that I find that will do work on these bars. And then they send me back their finished work, and I take them to different events, and I display them and try to get them, you know, some definitely decent exposure, number one. There's some big names in there, and you know that I'm lucky enough that I'm honored to have involved, but that allows the small names that I find that are really talented artists, it allows exposure to be on them as well. And it seems to be great for the artists. They seem to network a lot, and they seem to get a lot of attention from this. So it seems to be working well.
Out of the 30 Sissy Bar Arts that you've gotten from various artists, do you have any favorites?
Oh, God. Yes, I'd have to say it's so hard to pick favorites, but just because of the capacity, like Paul Cox did one.
Yeah.
And that's like one of my idols, you know what I mean? As crazy it is, as it is, you know, I see him at events and we'll laugh and joke. And have him doing something like that in that capacity blow my mind. Stephen Gibson, Earl and Led, his work is phenomenal. I can go on and on and on. It's the work itself is amazing. The artists, you know, it's breathtaking. Some of the people that are in it, for me anyway, being an art fan.
Yeah.
So it's hard to pin down a couple favorites. I'd say there's more than a handful easily.
So you tour around with the art show. What's the response been like to these amazing pieces of artwork?
The people love them. The people really get into looking at them in each different one. They really are taken. They have a lot of questions about them. It seems to be very good response also from the venues that I've been at. You know, they seem to be happy and keep asking to come back. So all of the responses has been positive up to now, you know, so far.
And you just got back from St. Louis. Was that Cycle Showcase?
Yes, it was out there at Randy. Yes.
And what was that experience like? Was that your first time out at that show with the Sissy Bar Art Extravaganza?
Actually, the first group of artists were out there as well last year. Okay. I went out and I have a great time out there. It's, you know, halfway across the country. It's a whole different thing. It's an unveiling of a lot of custom builds that you haven't seen before by a lot of big people. So the capacity of the bikes and the builds and the craftsmanship is unbelievable. Plus it's compounded with a lot of art. So I have a great time out there. It's just far. It takes a while to get out there. It takes a while to get back.
Yeah.
But it's definitely great to be able to go that to that distance and let people be impacted by these artists.
How do you stay motivated and really energized with so much traveling? I mean, I know you travel a lot with a Motorcycle Art Extravaganza, but, you know, before that was up and going, you know, you've been around to various, you know, chopper shows. Like, what's it like and how do you stay energized with all that travel? Plus, with all the work you have on your
high wired inside. my body's going a million miles an hour all the time. My mind's doing twice that. So I'm not really motivated, to be honest with you, to do it. There's been a million times that thoughts go, man, why am I doing this? It's crazy. You know, so I'm killing myself, blah, blah, blah. But it's not motivated, it's discipline. It's to get it out there and do it, just do it. If I can afford, if I can make it happen, just do it. You have to live life things don't come to you and happen. You know, there's three types of people out there. There's people who make things happen. There's people who see things happen and talk about them. And then there's people who go, what the fuck just happened? And, you know, definitely never be the third. But if you're not out there actually experiencing life and going to different things and meeting different people and interacting with it, then you're not living it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's a big trade-off I take. You know, a lot of people have other things that they value in life.
Where does your passion for bikes and fab work come from?
I always had a passion for motorcycles, even when I was a kid. As soon as I turned 18, I got my license, you know, I was on bikes. So I always had a passion for bikes and riding. Fabrication, I didn't know I had anything about until like almost a handful of years ago, 5 years ago. I used to build houses and do roofing and general contracting and you name it. And I was always scared to open like a motor. I was always, you know, metal. Everybody's like, oh, welding, oh, it's crazy. You have to go to school. Oh, it's all this, blah, blah, blah. And I was, you know, I guess intimidated. And I was like, shit. So I tried it. And I was like, you know, luckily enough, I took right to it. And ever since then, I haven't looked back.
So no formal training. You just fucking figured it out.
No formal training at all. Bought the machines. I had a little bit of coaching in the beginning.
Sure.
Person, I watched a million videos. I watched tons of hours. I had seat time and practiced, and boom, I'm still learning. Believe me, I don't know what I'm doing, but I know what I'm doing. It's working, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Do you seek inspiration from other art forms, or do you kind of just look at like other motorcycle related fab work and just get your creative juices flowing from what you see there?
I hardly look at motorcycle stuff. I do because I like the shapes and the builds and different ideas and stuff, but I get most of my inspiration and ideas from other sources, whether it's sculpture, whether it's repurposing stuff for things that shouldn't be. I always see things for what they aren't, not what you see it as, what it can be used as. A big, big fan of paintings, you know what I mean? Surrealism, it comes from everywhere. It's kind of crazy, the inspiration where it comes from, but very rarely from looking at motorcycles.
Do you have fabricators who aren't really in the motorcycle scene that you're like a really big fan of?
Fabricators that aren't in the motorcycle
scene. Like maybe Barbie the welder. I mean, she kind of is, but she's not building motorcycles.
Art like that. There's Sarah Stork. There's Barbie the welder. She does amazing stuff. These people are doing sculptures and stuff like that. I would love to get into that stuff. Yes, big fan of them, as a matter of fact.
Now let's talk about chopper builds. We had some talks the other day. I guess it was on either texting or social media. I forget, Instagram. You said you had some builds planned in the near future and a couple of years down the line. Like, do you want to talk about that?
Sure. Now, this is a couple of them I started a little while ago because then the moving just started. So I took one apart and blah, blah, blah. But as of right now, I should have three builds going over the next couple of years. I should be pumping one out a year if all goes as planned. I got a 61. I have a 76. And I got another little something up my sleeve I'm going to drop. But so I'm hoping now with the garage and me not being a fan of practicing playing dead by sleeping a lot, I'll be up on orders and work and be able to put some time into my own builds for a change.
Now, what do you plan to do with these builds? Are you going to do everything from the ground up yourself, or are you going to part stuff out like painting to other guys? Who do you have planned to do that? Have you thought about that yet?
Yeah, I had wanted a couple of my people to do some of the painting I had reached out to. But that one was when times were a little bit better on my wallet. So right now I'm going to do everything myself except for the things I can't do, maybe like the seat stitching and stuff like that. But what I can't do or what I want my friends or people that I know to highlight, I'm going to have them do it, and I'm going to make sure that they're mentioned. But I'm going to try to do as much as humanly possible of myself on most of these.
Nice. Is the party van still around or is that gone?
That's been raffled off and it's gone. I know, but I've already been looking into things.
So
I'm I'm already looking.
With all that time on the road, I guess now not with the party van, and all the work that you have in your shop, do you find it's harder to get on the road and just ride?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a double-edged sword. It's when you have so much to do all the time, it's like hard getting out and taking the time for yourself because you're always feeling like you're behind the gun. Let me get this done or let me catch up on that.
Yep.
This needs to be done. But I do try to ride as much as possible. I try to get out a couple times a week at minimum. I do prefer nighttime riding only because less of the idiots are on the roads. Mm-hmm. More of the road is mine. Weather's not really an issue for me as long as the road conditions are good. I don't care how cold it gets. But I'm going to try to start doing that more and more now, even if it's a half hour to 40 minutes a day. Let it be my therapy. Get out there in the wind.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's great therapy for people who don't ride. You can save a lot of money on therapists. Just learn how to ride a motorcycle.
Oh, absolutely.
Is that what you do to stay mentally fueled? Riding? Is that your thing to get your brain back on track and, you know, want to get up and go into the garage the next day?
Riding kind of takes me away from it because I want to ride more.
Yeah.
Once I'm out there, I can get lost on it. What fuels me to go is always being my biggest critic and telling myself how lazy I am and getting angry and letting the anger take over because I'm slacking or I should be doing something more. And I take that anger and instead of being like, oh, how do I do this? And I get pissed off and I take that energy and I focus that into getting shit done. And I go out there and, you know, bust ass. And like I say, oil the machine. I'll start to do crazy hours and stuff just to get stuff done. So I think that's what fuels me the most.
Now, do you fear burnout when you push yourself like that?
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, I'll lock my back up or my hands will cramp up from going too much. Or,
yeah.
And, you know, mentally I'll get a little behind the gun. But, you know, there's things. I have medicine for that now. It's amazing. It's, you know, they legalized medicine to take my head away from it. And they make Miller High Life to keep the machine oiled. So it's pretty good.
Now, if you weren't doing this, what would you be doing? And I can't say, you know, you would go back to building houses because you're more creative and talented than that. What would you be doing if you weren't doing metal fab work?
I had a big, good job right before I was doing this, before I quit to do this full time. And was a production manager for a big time solar company, $1 million solar company. Then they would send me all over the country. And I'm a good production manager. I get great productivity out of people, especially masses. And I find more efficient ways to get things done. So I'd probably be doing something along those lines. And if not, if that got to me in the stress, I'd be roofing or building or something that I'd be out there busting my ass to get angry and keep my body in shape.
So where do you see yourself? What do you want to get out of 812? You know, you and I are kind of close in age, you know. We still are driven to build something, you know, massive. Outside of saying I want to make A12 a billion-dollar industry, what do you expect from it? What do you really want to get out of it now that you're kind of settled into your space?
Oh, shit. Money's not even a part of it, to be honest with you. It's nice to be able to support myself by doing this, you know, but it's still I'm chasing bills and, you know what I mean? It's not a lap of luxury by any means. Don't let the A12 glitter fool you. at all. I can't even get into this. That's a tough question to answer.
All right, we'll skip it.
Well, I think I don't want to word it correctly. I don't want to misrepresent myself.
Yeah. But, do you have, do you deal with outside expectations, like other people being, yeah, I guess, demanding of you or expecting different things from you? How do you deal with that?
Constantly. I try to shut them out. You know what I mean? Everybody has their own opinion. I try not to give a shit what anybody thinks.
Yeah.
As much as possible. I don't do it. Like I say, I don't do it for the money. It's more, I guess it's to have the name be remembered for something, you know, keeping things real you know, being creative, trying to help other people. You know, if you can remember a couple years past your life expectancy for doing something like that in the industry you love, I think that's what it's really about.
Yeah.
Come down to it.
So do you have a lot of great experiences on social media with people looking at your work and checking out the, you know, all the things that you're doing? Do you find the positives in social media, or is it a lot of negatives that kind of weigh you down?
I get both. I think you get both. If you don't have haters, you're not doing something right. Yeah. I get people that are up my ass telling me what I should be doing or how I'm blah, 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 blah. That's the, you know what I mean? I laugh at it. It fuels me, but, you know, just keep doing what I'm doing and putting it out there. And some people dig it. Some people don't. You know what I mean? I take it with a grain of salt. If they're negative and they get into me, I just, boom, I get rid of them. I try to have no time for the negative stuff, although I can get kind of pissy sometimes. But, you know, I try to eliminate it as much as possible.
You're only human, man. Sometimes you got to punch back.
Well, that's allegedly human.
Well, I think you're human. So where's the motorcycle art extravaganza going to be appearing at next?
I think it's coming up in May in Yonkers, New York, at the Hogs for Hope big rally. It's a big shindig once a year. It's a big turnout that Mad Stork puts on and helps. It's going to be at that. And then again in Brooklyn, I think in August, they'll all be shown at Custom Culture Fest. Again, it's a big motorcycle and tattoo festival and art festival. And that's what's on the schedule as of now.
Are you planning on season 3 of the art show, or you pretty much want to ride out 2 for a while and figure it out down the line?
Well, it's gotten pretty expensive, so I'm going to buckle down for a year or so, maybe take a year off and reevaluate that and see if maybe I reach out and get some sponsors that are willing to pay for material or shipping, and then it's more advantageous to everybody and it's more economical for me. Then, yeah, I'll definitely would like to continue at 100%. It's just with the new move right now, I might need about a year.
Got ya. Jerry, where can people find you online? Your A12 Inc. and the Motorcycle Art Extravaganza. Where can people find that?
I'm all over Instagram. I have a little bit of Facebook presence, not much. And I don't have a website up yet. I had one that was hacked and there was a problem, so I got to get another regular website up. But on Instagram, I can be found at 812 Inc. It's one word spelled EIGHTWELVEINC. And reach out to me there and check out what I'm doing, or let me know what's going on, what your idea is, and we'll come up with something.
Jerry, I really appreciate your time, man. Thanks for doing this.
Oh, you know you hate me, so that's all cool.
I love you, brother.
I appreciate you having me. It's an honor, Johnny. I'll talk to you soon, man.
See you, buddy. Thanks.
Later, pal.
Visit gnarlymag.com and shop magazines, t-shirts, stickers, hats, and more. And be sure to check out all of our amazing features on artists, builders, and other creative types while you're there. gnarlymag.com.